Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Most Christians believe God can do anything. He has done nothing, but He could. And if I would pray hard enough, and if He won't do it for me, if I'll get the prayer chain going, and if we'll get 100 people, we'll put so much pressure on Him, He's got to move. Amen. And that's what most people do. Most people believe that fasting and prayer. I had a question about this today, and somebody says, the way you're talking, you're saying that fasting doesn't move God. It doesn't. Fasting doesn't make God move in your life anymore. Fasting doesn't make God love you anymore. It doesn't make God give you any more anointing. It doesn't give you any extra pull or power with God. Fasting has zippo, zilch, nada, zero to do with God loving you more or blessing you more. And some of you are immediately offended, like, well, man, no, there's promises about fasting. Matthew 17:21, this kind goeth not out but by much prayer and fasting. That's talking about this kind of unbelief. Matthew 17:20, unbelief is the subject. And there are certain types of unbelief that you have to fast to get it out. But what fasting does, it changes your heart towards God. It removes the distractions and the cares of this life that get us away from God and make us hardened towards God. So fasting softens our heart towards God, but it doesn't soften God's heart towards us. Fasting doesn't add anything to it. If the name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus didn't get it for you, neither will fasting. Fasting doesn't do anything. It changes you. It doesn't change God. Holiness doesn't make God love you more. Everything that God is ever going to do came through Jesus 2,000 years ago. He's not doing anymore. He's not saving people today. He's not healing people today. He's not delivering people today. He did all of that for the whole human race 2,000 years ago. Every person that has ever been demonized was delivered through Jesus and has had that power already produced so that there isn't a single person that has to live under depression, under demonic oppression. Every person that has ever been sick has had all of their sickness paid for, and the healing power of God that it takes to heal every sickness has already been provided and generated. God has already done His part. If He hasn't, then it's not going to get done because He's not healing people today. It was by His stripes you were healed. That happened 2,000 years ago in Herod's judgment hall. He's not taking stripes today. Jesus isn't healing people today. He healed people 2,000 years ago. He saved people 2,000 years ago. He delivered people. He loves people. All of His part is done. Grace is over. And it's the same. It doesn't fluctuate because it was provided for you before you did anything good or bad. Therefore, your good didn't make Him love you more. Your bad didn't make Him love you less. God loves you independent of you. He loves you because He is love and not because you are lovely. And basically, religion has missed this, and religion is saying, oh no, God, everything He's done is dependent on how holy you are and how much you pray and how much you study the Word and go to church. That's voiding grace, and it's meaning that your faith is what's moving God and God's responding to you. No, you're saved by grace through faith. Faith just appropriates what God has already provided. God's already provided it. He's already done everything, and it doesn't have anything to do with your goodness. And so somebody says, man, great news. I can go live like the devil because it's all God's grace. No, if you live like the devil, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If you aren't walking in the Word and meditating in the Word, instead you're out here living for the devil, unbelief, sickness, disease, poverty, hurt, heartache comes by cooperating with the devil. And if you go out here and live in sin, you're going to suffer because of it. Even though God's grace is provided, your faith won't be up to where it is unless you're seeking God and studying the Word. So yes, your actions, your holiness is important because it changes your heart. But God's heart doesn't change because you're holy. God's heart doesn't change because you're unholy. Your heart changes based on your holiness or unholiness. It's important for you to live holy so that you can stay sensitive and so that you can listen to God. The things that I'm sharing with you, brothers and sisters, I did not get watching as the stomach turns on the television. I have spent a lot of time studying and praying and seeking the Lord. You don't get this kind of stuff listening to the world. The knowledge of this world is death. It's contrary to this. And most of us are so plugged into the world that, you know what, this is just like foreign to us because we haven't heard the Word of God. So you need to seek God. But don't ever think that God is responding to you. No, when you're seeking God, that's you having a positive response to God. And there are things that you can do that will release the power of God. But there's nothing you can do to make God do something. God has already provided it. But there's things you can do to block it. There's things that you can do to unblock it. There's things that you can do to release the power of God. And I tell you, if you understand the little things that I've talked about here tonight, this could radically, radically change everything. You would move from a person who's trying to manipulate God and twist God's arm and force God to do something to a person who is resting in the goodness of God. And you just understand that, man, God's a good God. God's already provided everything, and it's not up to me trying to get God to do it. It's just a matter of me getting rid of this unbelief and fear that I've got and learning how to rest. Learning how to trust that God's already done it. Man, it is so much easier to rest than it is to work. It's so much easier just to trust that, Father, you've already done it. And I don't have to force it. You know, everything I've spoken against tonight, I've done. I've done all of that. There's probably not a person in here that prayed harder for revival. I had all night prayer meetings, and this is before I spoke in tongues. And you know, before you speak in tongues, you can pray for the whole world in 30 minutes. We started all night prayer meetings, and we never had a one of them that went all night. Usually by 11 or 12, everybody was gone but me. And I'd hang out until 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and then I'd get frustrated and go home. But man, I studied all of the revivals. I prayed. I actually, one time, I was praying for Arlington, Texas. And I was calling down the power of God and just, God, I'm not going to let you go until you pour out your power. And oh, and I was just screaming and yelling and yelling at God. And finally, I heard myself say this. I said, God, if you love the people of Arlington, Texas, half as much as I do, we'd have revival. And as soon as I said that, my lightning fast mind figured something was wrong with the way I was praying. And yet I can guarantee you that either you or somebody you know has prayed this same way. You're calling God's power down. You're interceding for Houston, for America, thinking that you're going to make God move. God loves people. He loves this nation. He loves this town more than you could ever think of. Matter of fact, if you've got a desire to see people saved and things to happen, why do you think you have it? It's because the love of God's already working. You and your natural self don't give a rip about anybody but yourself. If you love other people, it's because God is already moving on you. It's God that caused you to want that. This whole thing of begging God to save. I had a woman come up and she said, would you please pray? And she was crying and she says, I've been praying for my husband for 20 years. Would you please plead with God and help me to get God to save my husband? And I said, no, I won't do that. This woman just looked at me like, why wouldn't you do that? And I said, you know, the way you're talking, you're implying that it's up to God whether he gets saved or not. And that if God wanted to, he could get this man saved. And for whatever reason, God just hadn't been answering your prayer and he's letting your husband go to hell. And she looked at me and she says, well, what's the deal? And I said, God's already forgiven him. God's already paid for his sins. He's already done everything by grace. It's just a matter of will your husband receive. Now, I said, if you want me to agree with you, that laborers will come across his path, that God will help you to be the wife you're supposed to be so that you can be a better witness, so that, you know, different things can happen. I said, I'll pray all that. But I said, there's nothing I can do that'll make God love your husband any more than he does. He already sent his son and died for you. God loves people more than you love them. For you to be praying and begging God and thinking that you are making God save a person is the height of arrogance. God wants those people born again more than you ever thought about. You don't have to plead with God. What you got to do instead is start thanking Him. Father, thank You that You have already forgiven them. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it's the God of this world that has blinded their eyes. And so I take my authority as a believer. You've given me authority over the devil, and so now I exercise it. And I command this blindness over this person to depart. I command the reason to come back to him in the name of Jesus. I pray Matthew 9:38 that laborers will come across their path that'll speak the word to them. Father, if they're in a bar right now, I take my authority as a believer and loose Your power that You've given me and speak laborers across the path into the bar. I pray that somebody who gets drunk will start preaching the gospel to them or whatever. But they're going to hear the word of God. Or John 14:26, bring back to their remembrance the things that You've already said to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we send the word and heal them and deliver them from all their destruction. Psalms 107:20. And that's the way you pray for the lost people. Not begging God, but just taking your authority and saying, God, I know You love them now. Here I am releasing this power through me. I speak life over them. And quit begging and pleading with God and saying, oh God, why haven't You done anything? Every time you do that, it's just a step of unbelief that is stopping the power of God from flowing through you. Every time you beg God to pour out His Spirit, no, God, would You please do something? You're denying the fact that He says He poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. And the promise is now unto you and unto your children and unto everyone. And you're saying it's God's fault and you're impugning His character and you're stopping the flow of God. That's good stuff. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're listening, this is answering some questions.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-159 titled Who's Responsible when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Again today, I would like to encourage any of you who have not yet become partners with us to join up and become partners. You know, there's about 1% of the people who actually receive from these programs who ever write in and help us financially. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying that it ought to be much greater. It really should be. You know, I believe that these truths need to get out to everybody in the world, but I can't do it by myself. I'm willing to make the programs. I'm willing to do all of the work, but we need people to help us. How can they preach except they be sent? I'm asking you to send me. I'm asking you to pray about it and then call and become a monthly partner with us today.